booster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Well, good morning. Welcome to the WABC Early News. It's hump day. This is Frank Morano. Hello.
Hello, Frank Morano. How are you today?
I'm great. Thank you.
Good. Wonderful. I want to get you guys a little bit of updated information on what's happening with the weather. So today we're probably going to be seeing a lot of thunderstorm activity today. 74 degrees will be the high. That will continue into the evening, and eventually it'll just turn into a steady rain. But we will be having thunderstorms mainly in the afternoon starting today. It's going to be pretty heavy rainfall. Once we get into tomorrow, we should have a shower early in the morning, maybe some clouds in the afternoon, but we should see some sunny skies later on in the afternoon, which is great. We'll have clear skies Thursday night, and that'll lead into a really nice day on Friday, sunny with a high of 74 degrees. The weekend is actually looking pretty good right now. We're looking at about 78, 79 degrees with mostly sunny skies. And the humidity actually has dropped, it looks like. So we're in the 50s, which is pretty good because we've been in the 70s and basically 80s. The last couple of weeks. So all in all, after we get through today, we've got a nice little run going on. Right now it's 76 in New York City.
Speaking of running, we want to encourage everybody to join us, both Juliet and me, in the Tunnel to Towers Run and Walk on September 26th. And if you want to walk with us or make a donation to either Juliet or me, you can go to wabcradio.com/walk and do so. And I want to thank Evelyn Rowe, who just made a donation, as well as Corey Lang, who just made a donation as well. Thank you both.
That's very nice. Thank you, guys. Yeah, I mean, this is going to an incredible, incredible outfit. The Tunnel to Towers Foundation, just a wonderful organization. All right, we have this just makes my skin crawl. Shocking and upsetting news out of Afghanistan. An animal charity is reporting at least 50 canines used by American contractors have been abandoned there. American Humane says this is a death sentence for these dogs, who they claim will be tortured for being part of the enemy's camp, essentially. The group is calling on Congress to rescue these four-legged heroes. Animal Rescue, by the way, has worked with the military, I think, for about a century, about 100 years, helping rescue stranded animals specifically. So I just can't even begin to think about what is going to happen to these dogs. It's just so upsetting.
Now, Admiral Kirby, for his point, for whatever it's worth, is saying that it's not accurate, that the reports of military service dogs being left behind is not the case. And he reiterated that yesterday, that no military service dogs were left behind. He's saying the images that the American Humane Society posted and that people are seeing are from a local animal charity called Kabul Small Animal Rescue. So it's not the first time. It would not be the first time that the Pentagon has not told the truth, if that's not true. But I sincerely hope that what Admiral Kirby says is true.
Yes, exactly.
All right. Somebody that has done a lot of work for dogs and animals of all kinds, and that's actually sincere, that's not shtick, is Brandi Scott.
Really?
Who's doing, oh, absolutely. And
wow.
She's done a lot of great work. Brandi Scott also does some great work on traffic and transit on the 7s. Hello, Brandi.
Work has you stop and go. Grand Central westbound, two lanes down by the LIE, hitting the brakes there from Jewel Avenue. So far, a great ride on the BQE in both directions, heading over to the Brooklyn Bridge. Looking good inbound across the Hudson River at the George Lincoln and Hollins. This report is sponsored by Anthem Blue Cross. Anthem Blue Cross and Heart of America are helping schools across the country increase their access to healthy food. Learn more at empireblue.com/NY Liberty. I'm Brandi Scott from the Traffic Center on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you very much, Brandi. I'd like to hear a little bit more about that animal stuff that she does. What specifically does she do?
Well, I will get the details on that. And if she wants to weigh in, that would be wonderful.
That would be fantastic.
Yeah.
All right, buckle up, guys, because your wallet is about to get a little thinner thanks to Hurricane Ida. Well, the former hurricane. It hit the Gulf Coast earlier this week, shutting down almost 95% of the oil and gas refineries in that area of the Gulf. Pipelines were also closed, including the ones leading here to the East Coast. Most have started up again, but some are still shuttered because of damage to power, power being out, and also some damage to materials. And experts warn this could lead to a jump at the pump.
Well, that is going to be. We're going to have more on that when we do our business update in about 12 minutes.
Did
but,
I steal your thunder?
Well, that's okay. It's all right. But speaking of Hurricane Ida, New Orleans is under curfew in the aftermath of Hurricane Ida. People are asked to stay inside until 6 a.m. So we do have listeners in Louisiana. Those of you that are listening, you have to stay inside for another 51 minutes due to no street lights and all the debris that is still on the roads. The storm knocked out power to the entire city on Sunday, leading to looting. Several arrests have been made, and now patrols are underway to protect property. Some power could be restored today, but it'll be a month for other areas. A month. Nearly a million people in the state remain in the dark.
Well, first it was squirrels with the plague, now scorching fires eviscerating the gorgeous year-round resort of Lake Tahoe, which is, I mean, at this point, Lake Tahoe is supposed to be just slammed with tourists. It's a really, really an amazing, amazing place, both in the summer and in the winter. Well, really, all year round, again. But the southern shore of the California village is empty. Well, sort of empty, pretty much empty. I'll tell you about that in a second. But after more than 20,000 locals had to flee in a mandatory evacuation, trying to escape that fast-moving Caldor fire, witnesses report huge chunks of ash raining down on the city. And this comes just weeks after officials there warned folks not to visit a certain beach area along the famous lake. Authorities found chipmunks, squirrels, and other rodents were infected with the plague. This is some new news, though, coming out today. Some of the about 22,000 residents who were ordered to evacuate refused to do so. And they're in big trouble now because this fire, it's burned 300 square miles, or just about 300 square miles, since breaking out on August 14th. It's only 18% contained, and it's actually just 3 miles from the main town. I mean, this is a very, very bad situation, and it's incredibly difficult to escape when you become surrounded by a fire. So I hope we're not going to be talking about deaths tomorrow, but unfortunately, people decided not to leave.
Sad. All right. Nearly 160 House lawmakers want to honor 13 service members who were killed in Afghanistan last week. They're pushing a bill to award them the Congressional Gold Medal, calling the attack the deadliest single day of the war for the U.S. in over a decade. The bill commends their bravery for helping Americans and Afghan allies safely evacuate. The troops, mostly Marines, who were in their early 20s, died in a suicide bombing by the terrorist group ISIS-K.
And we have some bad news about humanity, as if we needed any more. The FBI releasing a study showing hate crimes have skyrocketed to their highest level in more than a decade. The communities hit hardest, blacks and Asians. In fact, hate crimes against the latter group jumped 70% last year compared to 2019. Experts say you can thank the misplaced blame being leveled at them for COVID. Anti-black crimes have jumped almost 40%. Hate attacks against white people also rose, increasing about 16%. Critics say politicians calling for attacks on the opposition, whichever side you're on, have been a huge factor as well.
The White House is vowing to rescue an Afghan interpreter who saved President Biden back in 2008. The man and his family are currently hiding from the Taliban. He asked the president not to forget him as the final troops left the country on Monday. He was working for the Army when two Black Hawk helicopters made an emergency landing in a snowstorm, and he helped rescue Biden, who was then a senator, and two other lawmakers.
Well, guys, you want to attract the ladies? Frank, I know you're married and you've got a baby on the way, so this doesn't apply to you, of course, but any of you single guys out there, here's what it is. One word, mumble. Yes,
ooh.
Mumble. Apparently, researchers in California have found women go gaga over men who don't seem to try so hard at talking clearly. Think about like Marlon Brando.
See, this is my problem. This is my problem.
I
spent so many years as a single guy enunciating clearly.
Well,
and
you
I
blew
thought
it.
That was going to be, you know, I was going to have women throwing their undergarments at me. And that now I know why that was never the case.
No, instead they throw peanuts at you and dishes at you. Yeah. So, you know, more recently, I mean, Marlon Brando, famous for his mumbling, but also Tom Hardy, the actor, the current actor. Apparently, they say it's a sexually desirable trait, as a matter of fact. It's sexy, women. We think that this is very sexy when you guys mumble. Conversely, men drool over women like Elizabeth Hurley, who enunciates properly and clearly. Scientists say women's speech is generally more distinct than men. So it's kind of like something that just, you know, it's sort of innate in men to find enunciating a very sexy thing. And there's more, Frank, another study out of Australia. If you're someone with long facial features and big eyes, you're looked at as more, shall we say, sexually promiscuous, but only if you're a guy.
Interesting.
Yes, huh. Only if you're a guy. And I have some more details on what women are looked at if they have slim faces and small eyes.
Very.
That's coming up a little
very
later
interesting.
On our show.
A North Carolina congressman says he isn't supporting violence after warning rigged elections will lead to bloodshed. Madison Cawthorn made the comment during a GOP event over the weekend, calling the arrested Capitol rioters political prisoners. He even said they were planning a return to D.C., but later took it back. This comes a month after he called school mask mandates the psychological child abuse.
Well, it is now 5:15, and it is time for Matt Sapienza's. We don't have a little name for your sports report, do we?
I'm going to try to think of one by tomorrow.
Yeah, let's come up with something good.
All right,
like Biz Buzz. That's great. I mean, but
Sap Sports, right? Sap Sports?
Oh, Sappy Sports.
The Sap Sports.
Yeah,
we'll work on something.
Okay, all right.
Well, here we go with your sports report presented by Peerless Boilers. We're going to start things off in the place where the land of kings, Queens. Javier Baez bolted home for the winning run in the ninth inning of New York's 6-5 win over the Miami Marlins hours after he and Francisco Lindor apologized for taking a dig at booing Mets fans. Baez and Lindor were at the center of a thumbs-down celebration gesture adopted by players that Baez said was their way of booing back at unsupportive fans. They took turns saying they were sorry within an hour of the first pitch. Their regrets followed a stern statement from team president Sandy Alderson disavowing the gesture, as well as a team meeting in which players were said they would stop making it. Well, over in La La Land now, the Los Angeles Angels beat the Yankees 6-4 and sent New York to its fourth consecutive loss. Shohei Ohtani stole home and Jared Walsh hit a three-run homer. Phil Gosselin had a two-run single for the Angels, whose troublesome bullpen preserved their third straight victory. Jake Patryka got two big strikeouts to strand two Yankees for the eighth. And Raisel Iglesias pitched in ninth for his 29th save. Anthony Rizzo and Gary Sanchez homered for the Yankees, who skid following their 13-game winning streak, continued despite 10 hits. Jameson Taillon, yeah, that's the name, who is 8-5, took his first loss in 16 starts since May 31st. This has been a report sponsored by Peerless Boilers. They do make America's best boilers. You can check them out at peerlessboilers.com. With sports at 15 and 45, I'm Matt Sapienza, WABC Sports. Back to you guys.
Well, I've
been thank you
very much. Business in just a couple of minutes, still to come, we'll tell you what happened on this day. We'll also bring you the Jet Set Juliet travel report. But first, let's find out how this weather is affecting your commute to work, because we've got traffic and transit on the 7s with Brandy Scott.
Allen Expressway eastbound heading over to Richmond Avenue, a collision out there blocking a lane. After that, a great ride inbound at the Verrazano. Roadwork on the lower deck has been cleared. Doing better on the Grand Central westbound, approaching the LIE, construction being picked up. This report is sponsored by Indeed.com. Hitting speed bumps in your hiring process? Well, streamline your route to hired with Indeed. Learn more at Indeed.com/credit. I'm Brandy Scott from the Traffic Center on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you very much, Brandy. And guys, I'm getting a lot of questions from you, from my friends, from listeners, from tons of people about this latest move by the EU with regard to Americans traveling overseas to Europe. I have a lot of friends and a lot of listeners and a lot of people following me on Twitter who are freaking out because they have trips planned. So I'm going to break this whole thing down for you at 5:40 in your Jet Set Juliet travel update. Frank, what's going on in the biz buzz?
Well, we will tell you what you can expect in terms of higher gas prices. Additionally, one drugstore chain is raising hourly workers by next year. I'll tell you which one it is.
That's fantastic. We have on this day news about Napoleon and about the Liberty Bell and about King Louis XIV, one of my favorite people of all time. And also I'm going to tell you, as promised, what people think of you if you're a woman with a slim face and small eyes.
Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Good morning. This is the WABC Early News, 20 minutes after 5. The opening bell rings this morning after a slightly down day on Wall Street. At the closing bell, the Dow Jones fell by 39 points, the S&P 500 fell by 6 points, and the NASDAQ also lost 6 points. Construction spending figures for July come out this morning, and the experts are looking for improvement. Building industry analysts forecast a 0.3% gain over June when spending grew only 0.1%. Those numbers are due at 10 o'clock this morning. Walgreens is promising its employees a wage increase is coming soon. The Illinois-based chain announced Tuesday that it will raise pay for hourly workers in phases, with the ultimate goal of reaching $15 per hour by November of 2022. The initial pay hike is set to happen in October. However, the company didn't disclose its current average hourly wage or the number of workers who would see the pay increase. Walgreens said it will cost $450 million over the next 3 years to increase workers' pay. Juliet?
Thank you very much. Well, this is a risky move. Oklahoma Representative Mark Wayne Mullen, who is a Republican, allegedly tried to get into Afghanistan recently, like very recently. He was planning apparently to hire a helicopter to go into Afghanistan from Tajikistan so he could rescue a family of five Americans, one woman and her four children. He reportedly, though, arrived in Tajikistan and ended up getting infuriated by the State Department there, the diplomats there, because U.S. Embassy staffers would not allow him to bring that large amount of cash into the country to pay for the helicopter, apparently. So he went ballistic. Staffers told the Washington Post that he became furious when his request to bring the money in was denied. He apparently threatened the staffers as well as the U.S. ambassador to Tajikistan. There's no really report on exactly how he threatened them or what he said specifically. The Hill has reached out to the State Department and the U.S. Embassy to Tajikistan to try to get some comment on this. Mullen's office didn't immediately respond when the Hill had reached out to them. But this is the second time he's tried to travel into Afghanistan. He traveled to Greece last week and was denied by the Pentagon when he requested permission to enter Afghanistan. Obviously, one State Department official said this is extremely dangerous, and that is actually a massive understatement.
That's for sure. A man in Las Vegas is facing charges for claiming to have a bomb inside the Trump International Hotel. Police got a report yesterday that he had walked in with a duffel bag and a large suitcase yelling, "There was a bomb in the building." He then left in a taxi, and the hotel got two more bomb threats by phone about 15 minutes later. Part of the hotel was evacuated, but no bombs were found.
Talk about a fall from grace. Wow. The sleeper hit fill-in host of Jeopardy, who was picked out of oblivion, at least how fans saw it, to replace the beloved Alex Trebek, is not only out of that job, he's out of a job. Sony Pictures announced Tuesday that Mike Richards is no longer with the show, Jeopardy. He was the executive producer, even after stories from his past came to light that many felt painted him as a bad guy. I guess that depends on who you talk to, though. At any rate, one of the Jeopardy executives sent out an internal note to staff, which, of course, never stays internal when it comes to these types of things. And that note said that the Sony folks had hoped that pulling Richards off the host duty would quiet things down a bit. But that didn't happen. Public outcry was apparently too much for the folks at the game show. You know, imagine that, Frank. You're like the cock of the walk one day, and then you're just tainted good the next. Well, I got to say, I feel for you, buddy.
In this modern day, we've seen that happen a lot, where somebody becomes a star kind of overnight, and then they drag out all this negative stuff. I remember the guy who wore a weird sweater at one of the presidential debates and asked a question, and then another guy at the Academy Awards that they dragged out as a random audience member. They were just kind of plucked from obscurity, and then all this negative stuff came out about them all of a sudden. It's sad. We'll see. Now, Do the latest on the Jeopardy host situation is what? Is Maya Bialik going to host everything now? Or
The latest that – well, this was actually last week, I think it was. I was under the impression that they were trying to get Maya Bialik just to be the host, but she has commitments and things. So
right.
I don't know. Apparently Sony Pictures was going out of their way to try to get her.
Right. Apparently there's some controversy about her, some book that she wrote 10 years ago some people take issue with. And then it came out yesterday that Ken Jennings, who was a front runner to be a host, they didn't want to make him the host because of some old tweets that he had that were not politically correct. So I hope everybody will lighten up and recognize that whoever the next host of Jeopardy is will not be perfect. Chances are they've tweeted, written, or said something over the years at some point that has offended somebody.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just not sure. Just from the things that I read about this, I just don't see that this guy was some monster the way some are portraying him.
Yeah.
To be. Critics of the move, Sony's move, say it's a case of cancel culture gone wild. Critics being me. Sorry for the editorial.
Well, hopefully, maybe we'll hire him here at this radio station. He certainly seems very capable, right? Maybe we can get him here.
Well, you know, you're probably going to have to pay him a pretty penny to do that because the guy was making a boatload of money.
Yeah, I know, but now he's out of a job. So now we can get him at a bargain price. All right. Yeah. A new survey is addressing savings and retirement income. Insured Retirement Institute says more than half of older Americans have set aside less than $50,000 for their days after they call it a career. That comes as more than 50% of workers believe they'll need more than $55,000 a year once they call it quits. The survey also says almost 6 in 10 workers have less than 10% of the money they earn.
All right, really quick, I promised this for you. I told you a little bit ago that out of Australia, a study has come out saying that if you're someone with long facial features and big eyes, you're looked at as more sexually promiscuous if you're a guy. But the experts found for women, slim faces and small eyes translates to overly sexy. Apparently, men in the study were more open to casual sex or perceived to be more open to casual sex if they had that long face, a higher forehead, longer nose, and larger eyes. And women agreed with that. But the men looked at us ladies and thought, she's got a dainty little face and those lips, tiny. Wow, I bet she's a good time. I don't know how to explain this.
All right. No, I think that's very reasonable. I think you did an adequate job.
Thank you.
All right. Speaking of adequacy, traffic and transit on the 7s with Brandi Scott. She's doing an adequate job with the traffic. An update on her animal situation. So she worked at Oradell Animal Hospital while she was in college at Seton Hall, and she got started pet sitting for people, and that's primarily what she does. She does a lot of, when she's not on the radio, a lot of pet sitting, and she's had some very good experiences with it. She's been pet sitting for some families for over 20 years.
Wow.
And she watches a lot of radio people's dogs, including Judy DeAngelis and Sarah Lee Kessler. So she is a pet sitter to the stars
of
radio.
How amazing is that?
Yes.
Well, I wonder if she would come out to Huntington to babysit our pets.
What about it, Brandi? What do you think?
Slowdowns on the BQE eastbound heading over to Atlantic Avenue. Rehab project has you down to two lanes. Heavy there from the Battery Tunnel. After that, not too bad approaching the Brooklyn Bridge. Overnight roadwork on the FDR taking out two lanes over by 71st Street. This report is sponsored by Indeed.com. Hitting speed bumps in your hiring process? Well, streamline your route to hired with Indeed. Learn more at Indeed.com/credit. I'm Brandi Scott from the Traffic Center on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you very much, Brandi. The EU has made a recommendation to its 27 member countries to ban unvaccinated Americans from coming into any of those countries. So what do you do if you have a trip planned for, let's say, Italy or France or whatever, and you're not vaccinated, but you've got the trip planned? I will tell you coming up in your Jet Set Juliet travel update, plus On This Day coming up.
I'm Deborah Ballantyne. One rescued, five people unaccounted for after a U.S. Navy helicopter crashed yesterday in the Pacific Ocean off Southern California during a routine flight. Light rain from Ida has started. Meteorologist Lara Pagano says, take the remnants of Ida very seriously as it combines in the northeast with a cold front.
There's going to be life-threatening flash flooding, significant river flooding as well across those locations.
Upwards of 5 inches of rain is forecast in the tri-state area, New Jersey, New York City, and Connecticut. Tragedy in Ozone Park, Queens this morning. A 9-year-old boy died in a house fire early this morning, about 2 a.m. 9 other residents also rescued by the FDNY. The family moved into that basement apartment just a week ago. A woman, possibly homeless, stabbed to death. This happened in East New York, Brooklyn. The male suspect, about 200 pounds, African-American, and remains at large. I'm a lifeguard, that young lifeguard killed when he was struck by lightning Monday at a Jersey Shore beach, now identified as 19-year-old Keith Pinto of Toms River, New Jersey. 7 others suffered non-life-threatening injuries in that lightning strike. That's your 77-second WABC News update. Your forecast from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center will be brought to you by Juliet. Right now, we have light rain, 73 degrees. I'm Deborah Valentine.
Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Thank you very much, man without a name. I'm Juliet Huddy. Frank is here.
Matt knows that guy's name. What's his name, Matt, that guy?
His name is Jim Merkel.
Jim Merkel.
Jim Merkel. Have you ever met him? How do you know his name?
I just happened to be like, I was stumbling online looking for voiceover gigs, and then I came across his name, and I saw it had 77 WABC on his resume. I was like, oh, let's hear a sample. And I'm like, it's the guy!
Jim!
It's him!
Jim, I wonder where he lives. What his story is? Let's
I
Google
wonder
it.
If he is a descendant of the old baseball player Fred Merkel, who is best known for, you know, Merkel's bonehead play, which was a very famous baseball blooper back in the day.
Not to be confused with Fred Mertz. Wasn't that I Love Lucy? Wasn't that Fred Mertz?
Exactly.
Was it Mertz?
Right.
Yeah. On this day, Frank, it is now September, everybody, September 1st. On this day, September 1st, 1715, King Louis XIV of France, one of, if not the greatest kings that country has ever seen, dies after leading France, as you like to say, for 72 years. He beats even Britain's current monarch, Queen Elizabeth II, in terms of how long he served. The second longest serving leader is Bhumibol Adulyadej from Thailand. He served in the 40s, and he served for 70 years. Then Johann II of Liechtenstein, 70 years as well. Elizabeth II, she's been 69 years. Knich Janabkal, I don't know who this person is, Palenk. Franz Joseph I of Austria-Hungary. Let's skip some good ones. Oh, Queen Victoria comes in at number 10, of course, of the United Kingdom. 63 years.
Well, on this day in 1752, just 10 months after Pennsylvania sent its request, the Liberty Bell arrived in Philadelphia weighing about a ton. The bell measured roughly 12 feet around the bottom tip and 7.5 feet around its crown.
Frank, you know, if I'm starting in the 1700s, that's where I'm starting. You got to start later, man.
All right, well, sorry.
You got to start later. That completely messes me up. You mess my mojo.
I don't know what to tell you. Sorry.
Well, you know that Liberty Bell was a symbol of freedom right in Philly. Oh, so it was installed in 1752 in the Pennsylvania State House, which is now, of course, Independence Hall, cracked on its first test ring, so it was melted down and recast, which I find funny. The current crack formed in the 1830s, and as a result, the bell never rang
And then
again.
How soon until they made that deal, the Liberty Bell people, with Taco Bell?
I don't know. I don't know. You're going to have to call the Chihuahua.
All right. Well, on this day in 1939, Hitler invaded Poland from the west. 2 days later, France and Britain declared war on Germany, beginning World War II.
Ay, ay, ay. On this day, 1799, the Bank of Manhattan Company opens in New York City. This was the forerunner to Chase Manhattan.
On this day in 1941, the Nazi regime decreed that all Jews in Germany over the age of 6 must wear a yellow Star of David.
Ugh, monsters. On this day, September 1st, 1807, Aaron Burr, the third vice president of the United States, is acquitted of charges of plotting to set up an empire. What?
That was funny. I remember that Got Milk commercial.
Oh, bull. Oh, bull.
So he was acquitted today.
Yes.
And you know where he spent his last days?
Staten Island.
That's right. Aaron Burr died on Staten Island.
Oh, bull.
The only place, and maybe this could be a subject for a future Jet Set Juliet report, Staten Island is the only place in the world where no vice presidents were born, but two died.
Really? So, who was the second one?
Daniel Tompkins.
Never heard of him.
You've never heard of Daniel Tompkins?
Never heard of him.
How about Tompkins Square Park?
Never heard of him.
Tompkinsville?
No.
Tompkins Circle?
No.
All right. Well, on this day in 1972, Bobby Fischer defeated Boris Spassky to become world chess champion.
Oh, well, congratulations, Bobby. And on this day, 1870, September 1st, 1870, Napoleon III, who was Napoleon's nephew, is captured in Sedan, leading to the establishment of the Third Republic. He was the first president of France as Louis Napoleon Bonaparte from 1848 to 1852. And then he just decided, you know what? President's not good enough. I want to be emperor. So he proclaimed himself emperor. That didn't last that long, 1852 to 1870. He was the last monarch to reign over France. He was dethroned after getting pulverized by Prussia, and he went into exile in England, where he died in 1873.
On this day in 1989, baseball commissioner Bartlett Giamatti died of a heart attack at the age of 51. His death was sudden and came only 8 days after he imposed a lifetime ban from baseball on Pete Rose for gambling.
Oh, that's interesting.
And he, of course, is the father of actor Paul Giamatti.
Is he?
Yes.
Oh, I never knew that.
That's why you listen to this show, because we teach you things.
Wow, that is a really good little nugget there.
Oh, yeah.
I got nothing else for you.
All right. Well, I will just mention that today, a lot of people will appreciate this if they're old school WABC listeners. September 1st is the birthday of great WABC radio talk show host back in the 1990s, Jay Diamond, who was heard in the overnight slot that I'm frequently heard in now. And he's also been heard on other stations, WOR, WEVD, which is no longer in existence, and still a great talent. And happy birthday, Jay Diamond.
Well, I have to say happy birthday to Barry Gibb, the lone surviving member of the Bee Gees and of the Gibb Boys. It's his birthday as well today.
Well, then I will also mention that is the birthday of former WABC DJ and the man who was formerly the voice of the Rush Limbaugh show, Johnny Donovan, who was a DJ that made the transition to being WABC's production director back in the day. So happy birthday, Johnny.
Well, that's wonderful. Happy birthday, Johnny. It's Dr. Phil's birthday today as well.
Oh.
And Gloria Estefan.
Very nice.
Big day for people.
Absolutely. That's for sure.
And big birthday.
Big day for Brandi Scott, who has been conspicuously silent on your request to pet sit. How many dogs do you have now, Julia?
Two and a cat.
Two. Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, Brandi, what about it? What do you think?
Absolutely, Juliet. I'd love to watch your fur babies. We've got some heavy delays now on the BQE, both east and westbound, heading over to Atlantic Avenue. That rehab project has you down from three lanes to two. A bit heavy on the LIE westbound, approaching Queens Boulevard. This report is sponsored by Anthem Blue Cross. Anthem Blue Cross and Heart of America are helping schools across the country increase their access to healthy food. Learn more at empireblue.com/NYLiberty. I'm Brandi Scott from the Traffic Center on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
She's so cute. You know, by the way, doesn't she have a voice? Like, she has a great voice to be a rock DJ.
Yeah, well, I think she's got a great voice for traffic. That's
well, yeah. I mean, but I'm saying she just has that kind of crackly, just cool voice.
Yeah.
I love her voice.
If I were Joe Nolan, I'd be awfully worried.
Well, but I'm talking about, you know, if I'm a DJ, I'd be worried.
Okay.
At a rock station.
Yeah, absolutely.
Watch out.
All right.
Jeff or Brandi.
That's right. It can be very intoxicating, that's for sure. All right. Let me tell you what's happening on Wall Street. Well, a mostly down day for the markets yesterday. The Dow fell by 39 points. The S&P 500 fell by 6. The NASDAQ also fell by 6. The Southwest Airlines Pilots Union is suing the airline over changes to work rules during the pandemic travel slump. The suit filed in Dallas federal court this week accuses Southwest of violating federal labor laws by changing work rules without negotiating with pilots. The changes covered work conditions and pilot pay rules and rates, such as an emergency time off program. The lawsuit asks the court for an injunction to force the airline to revert to terms of the collective bargaining agreement. Southwest denies that the changes required negotiation because it was forced to respond to challenges presented by the global COVID-19 pandemic. Speaking of travel, more flight attendants are coming on board Delta. The Atlanta-based airline is in the process of hiring another 1,500 employees to work on flights by summer of 2022. The flight attendants must be vaccinated against COVID in order to start training. The airline is urging potential employees to submit applications as soon as possible due to demand. Now, before we get to the Jet Set Juliet travel report, I want to quickly thank a couple of people that have chosen to support my efforts in the upcoming Tunnel to Towers walk. I want to thank Pierre Dervik, Sarah Lawhen, Neil Schimler, and Jerry Geary. So thank you to everybody. And I know Sid is going to be trying to run up the score once he starts in about 20 minutes. So if you want to support Juliet's efforts or my efforts in the upcoming Tunnel to Towers walk, just go to WABCradio.com/walk. You'll see Juliet's photo, which is glamorous and gorgeous. You'll see my photo, which looks like it should be in a post office wanted poster somewhere. I did not pick the photo. And if you're considering supporting my efforts, do not let that photo deter you. WABCradio.com/walk.
I like that photo.
I hate it. I think if you like that, then I am much uglier in real life than I think I am, because that is as unflattering a photo that I've seen. And if that's anywhere close to what I actually look like, then I feel bad for you as having to share a studio with me on a daily basis.
Oh, my gosh. You're so hard on yourself, Frank. Stop that.
Well,
it's crazy.
Yeah,
I think it's a nice picture. I think you look charming.
I definitely do not.
You look like you're up to something. You do.
I do. I look confused and mischievous.
No, you look mischievous. Exactly. Yeah. All right,
and
guys.
It also looks like I have four chins instead of my usual two.
Stop it. Yeah, I mean, the whole Photoshop thing, I think people that did those pictures weren't quite up on.
Well, I mean, fortunately, the person that took that photo, no longer with the company.
Oh, well, bye.
I can certainly see why.
It's your Jet Set Juliet travel update time. I'm getting lots of questions from panicked friends and listeners about this latest move by the EU with regard to Americans traveling to one of the EU countries. So let me break it down for you. As you know, on Monday, the European Union Council made a recommendation to its member states, all 27 of them, that Americans should be prohibited from non-essential travel to the EU. This applies only, however, to unvaccinated Americans. Some countries won't adhere to this recommendation. They don't have to. It's not a requirement. But some may. So what do you do if you have a trip planned for, let's say, Italy or France or another EU country and you're not vaccinated? Number one, and this applies to anyone, vaccinated or not, traveling to the EU soon. Go to the U.S. State Department website. Once you're there, go to the page for the country that you're going to be visiting. For example, let's say you're going to be going to France. This page will have the most up-to-date information on France's rules with regard to American tourists. Okay, so it's the State Department, the page for the country that you're going to. Number two, find a reliable travel website for the country you're going to. I've posted on my Twitter, at Jet Set Juliet, a link to a list of great websites, one for each country in the EU. These are either official tourism sites or sites that I trust when it comes to the latest information for U.S. travelers. These two steps are huge. They're really, really important. You have to make sure that you know exactly what they're asking, each country is asking, because every country is different. Number three, if you click these links and you find that you're not allowed in a country because you're unvaccinated or whatever, you're going to have to cancel or change your flight, right? This is where it gets tricky. Most airlines have waived change fees, so you can likely just bank the money and rebook later. The exception is if you booked basic economy. Some airlines like Delta and United waive change fees for all classes till December 31st, including their basic economy classes. If you're lucky and likely rich, you booked a refundable ticket from the jump. So congratulations to you. But if you didn't and you booked in basic economy, you might be out of money. In all seriousness, this is a really good travel lesson, I have to say. I avoid basic economy because, yeah, it's the cheapest, and sometimes it's like, oh, my God, it's really cheap. But in times like this, and in a pandemic, especially if you're traveling outside the country, there are just way too many risks in booking a restricted ticket. For me, it's worth paying a little bit more for the flight, maybe, you know, sacrificing in some other areas. Don't buy that purse in Florence or whatever. Plus, if you haven't noticed, buying a basic ticket for overseas travel is really limiting. The seats are the worst. The perks are basically non-existent. And you can't bring as much luggage as you like and as you probably need. Now, if you insist on the basic ticket and non-refundable travel, buy CFAR insurance. Cancel for any reason. CFAR. There are caveats even to this, but it'll probably help you from losing everything. And number four, if you are still able to travel overseas, definitely expect to shell out a few hundred bucks per person for COVID tests. For our trip in Italy to June, Frank, John and I had to take two rapid answer PCR lab tests in Queens,
wow.
One for John, one for me, and then before we left, and then two rapid answer PCR lab tests in Venice. One for John, one for me. The total cost for both was around $500. So, I mean, that's something to consider, too, because you are going to have to do these tests. And that is your Jet Set Juliet travel update. You can follow me on Twitter at Jet Set Juliet.
5:45. Let's get a look at sports with Matt Sapienza.
Okay, I looked at that picture, Frank. It's not terrible.
No, I know.
What do you
right?
know?
I think it's a good one. All right, let's go on with your Peerless Boilers sports report. Javier Baez bolted home for the winning run of the ninth inning of New York's 6-5 win over the Miami Marlins, hours after he and Francisco Lindor apologized for taking a dig at booing Mets fans. Baez and Lindor were at the center of a thumbs-down celebration gesture adopted by players that Baez said was in their way of booing back at unsupported fans. They took turns at saying they were sorry within an hour of the first pitch. Their regrets followed a stern statement from team president Sandy Alderson disavowing the gesture, as well as a team meeting in which players said they would stop making it. To La La Land now, where the Los Angeles Angels beat the Yankees 6-4 and sent New York to its fourth consecutive loss. Shohei Ohtani stole home and Jared Walsh hit a three-run homer. Phil Gosselin had a two-run single for the Angels, whose troublesome bullpen preserved their third straight victory. Jake Patryka got two big strikeouts and stranded two Yankees in the eighth, and Raziel Iglesias pitched the ninth for his 29th save. Anthony Rizzo and Gary Sanchez homered for the Yankees, whose skid following their 13-game winning streak continued despite 10 hits. Jameson Taillon, who's 8-5 right now, took his first loss in 16 starts since May 31st. This report brought to you by Peerless Boilers. They do make America's best boilers. You can check them out at peerlessboilers.com. With sports at 15:45, I'm Matt Sapienza, WABC Sports. Back to you guys.
5:47, let's get a look at traffic with the lovely and talented and very caring when it comes to animals, Brandy Scott.
Collision on the Staten Island Expressway eastbound, blocking a lane by Richmond Avenue. Not really causing a big delay. Very slow on the BQE in both directions, heading over to Atlantic Avenue. Rehab project taking you down to two lanes out there. A little bit heavy on the LIE westbound, approaching Queens Boulevard from just after the Clearview. Beyond that, not too bad heading over to the BQE. Looking good now on the FDR southbound. Roadwork picked up over by 71st Street. I'm Brandy Scott from the Traffic Center on Sauk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you very much, Brandy Scott. A tantalizing find in France, Frank. Scientists say they believe they've stumbled upon a lost Celtic city, a capital dating back to the Bronze Age. Excavators found the fortified settlement, a hill fort, actually, about 80 miles northwest of Lyon. But it's what they found there that has scientists frothing at the mouth, just drooling. Massive amounts of treasure, including jewelry, swords, tools, even chariots. Experts say it's one of the richest sites in terms of precious metal finds that they have ever discovered in Europe. Experts also say the information that they're gleaning from the site is helping paint a more vivid picture about what life was like 3,000 years ago for the people living in that central French region. Isn't that interesting?
That is interesting, actually. All right, let me tell you about this, which I find pretty interesting. A Massachusetts man combing the beach with a metal detector found a locket containing the ashes of the owner's father. What? Rich Bonanno said he was originally using the metal detector to find a diamond ring lost by another woman when he came upon a heart-shaped locket with the words "Miss You" printed on it. So through social media, Bonanno was able to find the owner of the locket, who was ecstatic when she found out. The owner's father had died of COVID last November, and she lost the locket on the beach 2 months ago.
Fascinating. We've got Sid coming up to tell us what's happening on the Bernie and Sid show today, and a couple more really cool stories for you all coming up.
Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Thank you very much. Mike, was his name? Matt, what was this guy's name?
Jim Merkel, like Fred
Jim Merkel.
Merkel. That's Jim right. Merkel. Just picture Merkel's play.
All right. Really quick, I know Sid will appreciate this. We love our sleep studies, and the latest one is a doozy. Researchers at Stanford University out in California found older adults who don't get a regular 7 to 9 hours of sleep may be increasing their risk of dementia, Sid, and other brain issues. These experts measured the seniors' cognitive abilities, and they found that a higher risk of dementia was in patients who slept six or fewer hours a night. But here's the thing. They also found seniors who slept more than 9 hours also had low cognitive functions. And that's not all, Sid and Frank. They had other issues like depression and a high body mass index. So
Biden must sleep about 2 hours a night.
Stop it.
you set him up for that one. I knew.
That was too easy.
Why does everything have to turn into an anti-Biden thing or an anti-Trump thing?
Oh, that's because it's so easy. Oh. No, not going to be anti-Trump with me.
Well, no, but that's the thing. She's saying in society. Why is everything
well? I've never known a society to be more obsessed with loving or hating the presidents than we are right at this point.
Well, that is
so
true.
Outrageous.
It is a bit much, but it's not a reach to really dislike Joe Biden today. That's not a reach. On a daily basis, yes, we get caught up in minutiae, in nonsense.
I think it's to not like him, we don't know him. I mean, he seems like a decent person, but this Afghanistan situation, I think he seems like a very nice man. But this Afghanistan situation shows that he's inept.
It's more than inept. When you're taking a victory lap and there were 13 dead bodies 48 hours away, that's just not inept. That is a guy that's not a great person.
Somebody that was quite complimentary of Joe Biden yesterday, believe it or not, was conservative columnist Ann Coulter, who praised Biden for pulling the troops out of Afghanistan. And while most Republicans have been slamming the president for the Taliban takeover, Coulter praised him on Twitter, writing, "Thank you, President Biden, for keeping a promise Trump made, but then abandoned when he got to office."
Yeah, she doesn't like Trump too much. After the whole immigration thing, Ann Coulter, she turned on Trump, and now she's gone Biden all the way. I like Ann, actually. She's a nice girl. Is she still with Jim Florentine?
Oh, were they coupled?
Oh, they
really?
Were.
I did not know that.
They actually showed up together at the second annual Bernie and Sid comedy night.
Is that true?
And we're ready for this word, Juliet and Frank? Canoodling on the couch. Hey now.
Jim Florentine, really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Huh. Well,
that's an interesting couple.
You know, she's too thin, I think.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Way too thin.
Oh, God, you guys.
Now, what's coming up on
you're
the
never way too thin.
Right. Well, you're coming up today.
Yes, good. I was just asked moments ago to come on and comment about
things. So we'll talk about the mayor's race and those types of things. I think Joe Borelli, your good friend on Staten Island, may join us in the 7 o'clock hour. Got to pry him away from Joe Piscopo, of course. Then I'll have Joseph Abood in studio for the 8 o'clock hour because he's exactly what Juliet talks about. He's anti the politics, doesn't want to get involved in it. He will send me personal texts, ask me not to read them, because he'd rather not get involved, especially publicly. So he'll come in, we'll talk about a variety of things, but especially his experience on 9/11. Of course, now we're just, how many days away now? 10 days away from the most tragic day in our country's history. So Joe Abood in the 8 o'clock hour. Famed defense attorney, my dear friend Joe Tacopina, coming up at 9:05. And then red carpet rendezvous host Lauren Conlon coming up at 9:25. So you get Frank Morano, Joe Borelli, Joseph Abood, Joe Tacopina, and Lauren Conlon.
Wow.
It's a heck of a show.
You are loaded for bear. And the Mets finally showed they were able to win a couple of games
yesterday.
They
won two yesterday. How about that? And the Yankees keep losing.
It's the bizarro world compared to where we've been.
And a shocking cut. Yesterday, Juliet and Frank, the NFL rosters had to be cut from 80 players to 53. and that 53-man roster is now set for the regular season, which starts in the NFL a week from tomorrow. A shocking cut up in New England, and maybe Tom Brady era number two starts with the Patriots next Sunday.
Wow.
Yes.
That's something. How are you enjoying doing the show Bernie-less?
Listen, I know you'd love to bring this up.
No, I'm serious. Do you find it to be a lot more work, or do you find it liberating?
It is a lot more work. I have to do every live read. Bernie does some of those. I'll discuss all these topics by myself. But again, at the risk of repetition, I did tons of shows on WFAN solo, and I worked 11 years down in Miami doing a morning show solo.
Four hours is a long time.
I wasn't
though.
Questioning your ability to do a show solo. I was just asking how you liked it.
I love working with Bernie. The Bernie and Sid show is the best. We're together. That's the best show there is. Outside of that, the next best thing is just me. How about that? Is that good?
That's not bad. That's not bad.
It's very Sid.
It's very Sid. That's right. I mean, look, I will do stuff today, like I said, talking about the National Football League and baseball and those things that I really can't do with Bern. I'll bring it up for 2 seconds, and he starts to roll his eyes, and wants to get back to Nancy Pelosi for the tenth time today.
When it's your show and you've got 4 hours to talk about the things that you're passionate about and interested in, I mean, what's better than that? I remember those days.
All right. Okay. Thank you, Sid.
Thank you, guys.
Let's get to traffic. See you in a few minutes.
Thanks, Sid.
Juliet, when is his son coming out again, quickly?
Tomorrow afternoon.
Tomorrow afternoon. Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
It's going to be nice after that.
All right. 5:57. You want to know about traffic and how to get to work this morning? Brandy Scott has your answer.
Bumper to bumper on the BQE eastbound, heading over to Atlantic Avenue. Rehab project has you down to two lanes through to the Brooklyn Bridge. Some heavy delays go back onto the inbound Gowanus from the Prospect. Just a little bit sluggish on the Van Wyck northbound approaching Atlantic Avenue. This report is sponsored by Anthem Blue Cross. Anthem Blue Cross and Heart of America are helping schools across the country increase their access to healthy food. Learn more at empireblue.com/NYLiberty. I'm Brandy Scott from the Traffic Center on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you very much, Brandy. From the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, we're looking at rain today. Definitely going to be rainy pretty much everywhere you go. Thunderstorms are possible probably in the afternoon. Heavy thunderstorms this evening, and that will give way to overnight just a steady rain. It's going to be a lot of rain. We're looking at like 3 to 5 inches. Also, potential flooding, so watch out for that. Tomorrow, we should have a shower likely in the morning hours, if anything, but by the afternoon, we'll have some clouds in the morning, giving way to mainly sunny skies in the afternoon and a high of 76 degrees. So it should turn out to be a pretty nice day tomorrow. Friday, we're looking at a high of 74 degrees and mostly sunny skies. Saturday, mostly sunny skies, 79 degrees. Sunday, partly cloudy, 78 degrees. We should have a little bit of sun on Sunday as well. Currently, the temperature in New York City is 76 degrees.
All right. And for those of you that want to help our efforts in the Tunnel to Towers walk coming up on September 26th, both Juliet and I have a team. So if you want to donate to either or both of our teams, you can go to WABCRadio.com/walk. And whoever's team you choose to support, it's a great cause. So please just make sure you come out and walk with us. But even if you're not in the New York area and can't make the walk on the 26th, at least make a small contributions, $10,
yeah,
$100, whatever you can do. This has been a lot of fun, Juliet. What do you say we do this again tomorrow?
I feel like we should.
All right. The Bernie and Sid show without Bernard McGurk is coming up next. Special guests include Lauren Conlon, and I've been asked to stick around for a few minutes as well. I'll try and think of something intelligent to say. What's on your agenda for the day today, Juliet?
Just work and playing with the puppies. Watching them wrestle each other.
Wonderful.
It's adorable.
Great.
Yeah. By the way, I went to Ohika Castle for dinner yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Did you meet Gary Milius, the proprietor? I did.
He was a character. Very nice man.
That he is.
Yes. Do you know him?
Yes, I do. I'd love to hear that about that dinner. That must have been interesting.
Well, I mean, it was just we took our neighbor Ned out for his birthday. So Gary, he comes by the tables. He says hi to everybody.
It's a great place. That's where Citizen Kane was filmed.
It's a very cool place, and the history there is wonderful.
All right. The Bernie and Sid show without Bernie coming up next. See you tomorrow.